Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be.
Welcome back. This is John Boehner. You're listening to Inspiration 316, and we're very excited to have Joy Lamb with us here today. She's the author of The Sword of the Spirit, The Word of God. It's an amazing book. I've had it for 20-some years, and she's now on the 19th edition. If you want to get this book, go to theswordofthespiritbook.com, theswordofthespiritbook.com. I mean, I pray the Sword of the Spirit over myself every morning in my household. You know, the word of God is stronger than a double-edged sword. It separates bone from marrow, soul from spirit. It judges the attitudes, the thoughts of the heart, and the soul and the spirit. In Christ's name, we pray that. I pray that every morning, you know, because that's where I've had lots of battles, you know, with evil coming against me and stinking thinking and all the things that happen, you know. And when I first came to Christ, it was actually by seeing a demon. I mean, I was driving to have an appointment with see someone about a seminar that I was marketing, and I was going to their business, and in the back of my mind, I saw this demon. He was trying to get me down. I was trying to get him down. It was a wrestling match back and forth, and by the time I walked into that business, I was white as a sheet. I was terrified. I had no self-confidence left, and so I didn't know what was happening, and I'd been raised in a church. It was a, you know, Protestant church. My wife and I went to the Catholic church. We married for many years. And what was happening is that God was pulling me into a different direction. My mom and dad told me there was no such thing as a demon. You know, that's all Halloween stuff or cartoon stuff. So I believed all that, you know, until I experienced it. Okay. And at that moment, I was just gripped with fear, and I stumbled through that interview, didn't know what was happening that day, but I saw on TV this businessman, it was a kind of a little interview with a guy named Dima Shakarian, an attorney from Toronto, and the attorney said, you know, my whole life changed when I turned it over to Jesus Christ, stopped trying to live my life for myself and started living it for him. That was the moment I knew God was real. I've been told by my parents, you know, that, you know, you just be a good person, you get to heaven, but you're never going to see God, you're never going to hear from him or anything like that, you know. And so I was that naive and that stupid, you know. And so at that moment, though, the lights came on, you know. And you shared a little bit about your coming to Christ experience, but I had a guy from India tell me this the other day when he had come to Christ, and he said, my life went from black and white to full color, you know, in max television screen, you know what I mean, big HD color. And he said, it's still that way. And the deeper I get with Christ, the more color there is, you know. Tell again how you came to Christ real quickly. You mentioned that earlier.
I was at a Francis McNutt seminar, and he said, ask God a question and then come forward for prayer. And I said, I'm not going to go up there and get prayer.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. But I did get on my knees, and I said, Lord, if you're really real, I want to know it, and I want to love people the way you love people. And the next thing I knew, I was in front of Francis and Judith. They laid hands on me. I fell over, and I came to, and my life was just a whole different life.
That's whole different life, yeah.
Not without a lot of pain coming and going, but I knew my source of healing, and I knew my source from then on of life, and I chose right. life, and
Amen.
it's been pretty awesome.
Quite a ride since, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, quite a ride.
Yeah, and since when you know evil, you can bind evil that comes against you. You know,
right.
you can. That's where the word spiritual warfare is used a lot of times, but it's really about protection. You know, it's about the covering and the grace of God over you to keep you moving forward and not have the harmful effects of what evil tries to come against you.
And I pray it for my family. I'm a lifter up before the Lord type prayer. I have list upon list upon list. I lift up the names. I cover them with the blood of Jesus, and then I go into that prayer. And I really do not I try not to leave home without it. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. When Irma hit, I was in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And I was my two girls had taken me to New York for my birthday. And the day it hit, I was so involved with them, I did not pray the deliverance prayer. And my outside of my house was demolished.
Really?
The inside of my house was not touched.
No,
and I'm
kidding.
20 feet off the river.
Wow.
There's one little strip in the screen porch. The screen porch usually blows out the screens on a bad storm.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Hmm.
Nothing happened.
So you said you'd been praying over your house, of course. It's kind of a normal thing.
But I
did
not
pray out of the outside. Okay.
No, I didn't do what I call the deliverance prayer, protection and deliverance prayer,
okay,
every day.
Mm-hmm.
But that one particular day on the 11th, I didn't pray it.
Mm-hmm.
But he spared my house.
Praise God. That's good. That's good. Let's talk about, you had mentioned earlier about President Trump and your feelings, reactions toward him, and then there seems that didn't you get your book to him at some point in time? Tell us about that.
Well, in 2011, in January, Bronson and I were sitting in our little prayer room, and we'd go down, we'd lift up the family and situations, the nation, and we'd pray the scriptures. Well,
is in your home with your husband?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that particular day, we had finished our prayers, and we were sitting there. Now, this, keep in mind, January of 2011.
11, yeah, okay.
And I heard this little voice say, write Donald Trump a letter and tell him to prepare himself to be president. Hmm. And I thought, Donald Trump, what is this about? Are you kidding? And I turned to Bronson. I said, Bronson, you won't believe what I just heard. And I told him, and I said, what I do? He said, you've always been obedient. Don't stop now.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote the letter. I did not mail it because I knew I'd never get to him.
Okay.
So I kept it with me all the time. And later on that month, probably the end, I don't remember exactly when, we were in New York City, and it was on a Sunday night, pouring rain. We were at a little Italian restaurant, and we'd taken the umbrella from the hotel because we wanted to walk home in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of dinner, we were putting on our raincoats, and I said, Bronson, tonight is the night I want to walk by Trump Tower. And I had the letter stuck inside a 6x9 brown envelope with a copy of Sword of the Spirit.
Okay.
And I kept it with me always.
Uh-huh.
And we started out, it's like 9:30 at night, we walked by Trump Tower, and there was a man standing there, and I said, do you know Donald Trump? He said, I do. I said, would you deliver this to him? He said, I'd be happy to. We walked away. I never heard anything about anything.
Now, this is 2011, right?
This is 2011.
Hmm.
Late
Amazing.
January or part of February. I don't have any record. I didn't write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my train of thought again. Anyway, never a word, never anything. But when the inauguration came, I got an engraved invitation from Pence and Trump to their inaugural ball.
Really?
So I took my granddaughter and I went. So he must have gotten something, but what I'm trying to say
okay.
is
so this 2017, right? Or was it 2016? I guess.
No,
year
it
one.
Was. Well, he
when he,
was
the year
elected.
He was inaugurated. Yeah.
Yeah, was 2000 what?
16. Well,
16.
He was elected. Yeah.
Yeah.
November.
But what is so interesting is people should know this man is chosen by God. I don't care what he says, mm-hmm. what he does. He is anointed and chosen by God.
Mm-hmm.
And people are so, that's another thing of Satan attack.
Yeah.
You know, because he will go forward no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's how I feel about him.
Right.
And I don't look at the bad things he does. I keep remembering
mm-hmm.
what I was told.
Okay. So did you go to the ball or not?
I did. Absolutely, yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you get to meet him there or shake
no,
his hand?
I've never gotten close to him.
Okay.
My prayer for me, if anybody's out there who wants to join me in my prayers, I want to pray for him personally,
mm-hmm.
and I want to pray that he will go before the nation and forgive. Mm-hmm. And then you'll watch everything change.
Mm-hmm. He'll go before the nation and ask for forgiveness?
Both. Ask for forgiveness for his language and his actions, and to forgive his enemies. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of enemies.
Yeah. 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 So, well, his...
One thing I... You ask me questions, but I don't want it to forget one of the things. The things he brought up in his speech.
Yes.
Like...
State of the Union.
State of the Union, like dealing with the MS 15, 17, and 18. Prison reform can only be done through prayer. Mm-hmm. And what were some other things that he talked about?
Immigration,
too. That it be done, you know, make them legal. Mm-hmm. But let them, like they used to come into the country.
Country legally, yes.
They would come in, they would take the courses on American history. Mm-hmm. I should have written these down. I did not. But things that he mentioned, there are clues. One, I love this, talking about the deliverance prayer. Mm-hmm. I got my grandson, who speaks fluent Spanish, to put on the website, the deliverance prayer in Spanish, and it was directed toward El Salvador, the home base of MS 17 and MS 18. Mm. And I gave it to a missionary that's going over there, and he's going to send it out to the churches.
Okay.
And I'm real excited about that.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Each night, before I hit the sack, I go outside and I pray for my family and our home and these kind of things, and as well as I pray for Donald Trump. And I prayed for President Obama, too. You know?
That's good. That's what we're supposed to do.
But I pray now more for revival.
Yeah.
Of course, we have a lot of heritage here in Jacksonville with the French Huguenots coming here, and I'd had an opportunity to go there years ago, back in 1997 or 8, when some friends of mine had invited me, but they were bringing a descendant of the French Huguenots and a descendant of the Spanish that conquered the French Huguenots at the time. And anyway, we're back in 1564, this was, or 1563. But the point of it all was that I was there and praying over the Fort Caroline site, and the Holy Spirit came over me as I was praying, and I saw this, like, blood pouring out over the land, red blood pouring out from Jacksonville, from Fort Caroline, going north, and praying over all of North America. But as it poured out, it also turned white, like God purifying the land, for, obviously, immigrants to come and to occupy the land, but it would be dedicated to Christ, and that was what the French Huguenots did anyway. So that was in confirmation with that again. But again, thank you so much for sharing about that with President Trump. And you mentioned prison reform. What is it about that?
I think that the greatest prison reform will be prayer, Bible studies. That is what will do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
it's so simple.
Right.
And it doesn't cost a fortune.
Right.
You
right.
know?
It doesn't take $1 billion worth of government programs, does it?
It doesn't, because none of them work.
Yes.
But the Lord Jesus Christ changes hearts.
Amen.
And that's what makes reform.
Right.
In us.
Yeah.
In them.
Right.
It's pretty
good.
Yeah,
I've had a good friend who was selling drugs, shot a guy in the head, went to prison. But he came to Christ in jail before he went to prison. So he spent his 6 years in prison actually reading the Word of God, and he came out like he'd been to seminary,
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was a great time because that's all I could do was read the Word of God, and I was captivated by it. God had grabbed a hold of his heart, and really transformed him. Now he's got two beautiful kids and business. He helps prisoners right now when they come out, to get your act together. But so people can order again the book, the Sword of the Spirit book.com, the Sword of the Spirit book.com. And again, let's review for people that didn't catch it earlier, but there is all kinds of scripture in here that relates to physical healing, deliverance, inner healing,
salvation.
They're great. So it takes the Word of God and directs it towards your needs so people can then read it and pray back even. You've got prayers in here as well, right?
Right. One thing, you know, when Jesus was in the desert confronting Satan, mm-hmm. all he did was pray back to Satan, the Word of God.
Right.
And we have the same too.
Yes. Yeah, we have the same ability to do the same thing. God wants us to emulate what he's done and through us, yes, to lead in the Word of God. So what about immigration? Tell us more about that, because you mentioned that in relative to the president's talk.
I just think that you have programs that if they're willing to enter the programs to learn about our nation, to learn our language, mm-hmm. to keep the rules, to not say, you know, give us extra whatever because mm-hmm. and fight for it, that if they go along with the old immigration rules, which we used when immigrants came into the nation, mm-hmm. that would solve the problem. Why do we have to, bend to their demands? Why do we have to do that? It worked in the past. It can work now.
Right.
If you're willing, let them stay.
Right.
If you're not willing, send them back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So more healing is going to take place in that area as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's so much resentment built up by so many different people about what's been happening in that whole issue of immigration. But so are you still connected with the Christian Healing Ministry? Are you still?
Well, not like I used to be.
Okay.
I mean, this ministry is, you know, I am connected. I will always be connected because
okay.
it's the birthing place of this.
Right.
But I don't go out there. Well, back then, take their prayer request, write it down, type it up, mail it out. Mm-hmm. Things are so different now, and they've had so many different volunteers come in, and I'm a little older.
Oh, you really? I didn't notice that.
just a touch.
A few weeks older. Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, now, do you have intercessors that come to you or to the teams of people? Because you talked about that earlier.
No, but I feel like every time we mail out a case of books, those are my intercessors.
Okay, those are your intercessors.
Yeah,
okay.
They're all over.
That's good.
In hospitals. They're in schools. They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they continue to come.
That's good.
And they're...
Do you ever have schools for teaching people how to be an intercessor? Are you out speaking or having groups that want you to share with them?
Not really, because I'm not exposed. That sounds weird, but I'm just not.
Okay.
You know? Sometimes I think I really should be. Sometimes I think,
well, so
oh
it depends
gosh.
On people requesting it, too.
Yeah,
right?
It really does.
Yeah.
There are directions in the book on how to become an intercessor.
Okay.
Whether you're an intercessor individually or a prayer group
mm-hmm.
that sort of does it all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So where do you think the church can get better? I mean, the whole movement of God through the churches.
Repentance, my Lord. Do you see what they're standing for and agreeing with? All you have to do is read Romans 1:18 to the end. It lists everything the church has done.
Uh-huh.
You know? And in the last verse, it says, not only have they approved, but they're worthy of death.
Mm-hmm.
The homosexual thing, and I'm not talking, I mean, every homosexual has a beautiful spot within them.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done all this demanding, and it's sin.
Mm-hmm.
God, I let them burn my house down.
Well,
but
there's not churches promoting homosexual lifestyle or anything like that.
They go along with it.
Yeah,
they don't make waves.
Yeah,
they don't offer, you know, come in here for healing, and then they get incensed because somebody tells them they need to be healed of that. They
uh-huh.
do.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus loves them to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
He loves them.
Absolutely.
The church should love them.
Absolutely.
But they should love them enough to want to heal them.
Right.
But
we had yesterday's show, we had a lady talking about PTSD, you know, post-traumatic syndrome disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And the pain of unforgiveness that comes out of that. In other words, particularly the military men who've been over there and they've seen or maybe even shot someone or harmed someone in a way that there's a lot of guilt and shame that's coming over them. And so it binds them to that desperation or that hurt or pain or nightmares that come about.
Absolutely. In fact, I was talking, I have a dear friend where I live in Charlotte who stayed 7 years in a Vietnam prison.
Really? Wow.
And then when I watched that movie, John Burns, about Vietnam, mm-hmm. all of those men today, what's left of them, they're filled with pain that they can't get out. Mm-hmm. And all they have to do is come together and forgive the enemy and forgive themselves.
Amen.
I mean, that's all they have to do.
Right. So you, in your book, you talked about the three ways to forgive. Is that listed, the one, two?
The forgiveness prayer is on page, I think, 17.
Okay.
And it's the three-way forgiveness prayer.
Right.
Forgive the person, ask God to forgive the person, and ask God to forgive you mm-hmm. for holding a judgment against the person that hurt you. Mm-hmm. And then you'll watch a miracle every time.
Right. That'll take away the pain and the sorrow and mm-hmm. the nightmares that come to some people remembering these things. That's the enemy just trying to bring that flashback
right.
back up in their minds, right? Yeah.
I had suggested to this man, who is just so wonderful, that he gather together groups of his people that were in prison mm-hmm. and have these seminars of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really fly.
Yeah.
Because one of the people, and we talked about Satan and the demonic force that keeps him in this pain.
Right.
And one of the people were in the minute was, you know, a Christian, had a ministry, but mm-hmm. poo-pooed Satan's involvement. Mm-hmm. Didn't believe in Satan.
Right.
And I thought, dear God in heaven,
yeah.
that's the whole bottom line.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
And I think we'll still get that going one day.
Well, Christ dying on the cross, the Lord revealed this to me just the other day, not that I didn't know it, but in a more profound way anyway, that dying on the cross was the breaking of the power of sin over us.
That's right.
And we have to accept that. The enemy keeps trying to bring it up back to us that we are still right, we're never going to make it, we're never going to be good enough, and all that kind of stuff. You know, but we have to accept it, that Christ died for that sin, and we need to ask for forgiveness, ask others. People get offended so easily today, you know, and they hold on to that.
Right.
It's sad. It's disappointing.
I keep concentrating on that one scripture. Unless you forgive the sins of others, I cannot forgive you.
Amen.
So all of us who haven't forgiven are walking around unforgiven.
Right. We've got to confess it. We've got to get right. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So where were you when you saw the movie, The Passion for Christ?
Where was I? I'm trying to think. Was I in Charlotte? I think I was here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did it have an impact on you? What did you think of that movie?
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when they drug him across the floor and left that trail of blood.
Yes.
That was the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Who had been slain for our sins. And that was so prevalent to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even believe I remembered that.
When was that movie? That's been 12, 15 years ago.
Really?
I've been told that there's going to be another one that Mel Gibson's coming out with that's going to be about the resurrection.
Ooh.
It's coming out.
And Mel Gibson is playing in it?
No. He was the director and the producer of the first one, but he's not playing in it, no.
Well,
Jim Caviezel was the one who played Christ.
Oh, right.
And he'll probably do it again, I think, from what I've heard so far. But, again, I'm here with Joy Lamb. This is John Beener with Inspiration 316. We're talking about the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. If we use that sword, the Word of God, by confessing it, God will bring healing, he'll bring light, he'll bring joy into your life. We need to be right with God, ask for forgiveness of the people who are offending you or have offended you. God is in the forgiveness business. He's in the turnaround business, in the resurrection business, right? He's in the healing business, all these good things. So what would be the one last thing you'd leave our listeners with, Joy? Because we're going to have to sign off here in a minute.
I don't know how to begin to answer that. There's so much.
Okay.
Well,
tell them to
go get a copy of Sword of the Spirit.
Right, the book. Yes.
The book. No, I don't know what to leave them with.
Well, the Sword of the Spirit book.com is the website. And so get that book because it'll inspire you, it'll teach you, it'll guide you through your troubles and doubts and fears and anxieties because it is uplifting. We have a body, soul, and a spirit, and the spirit needs to be fed by the Word of God. You know,
right. The
body needs food and intelligence because you have the soul, the mind, the intellect, personality, will, and emotions, okay? But we need the spirit to be fed, and it's in a relationship with Christ, giving it all to Him, and then being fed by His Word. I went for 15 years after confessing Him, knowing Him, but didn't get into the Bible very much. I mean, I would carry a little pocketbook around, and I use little different scriptures from time to time, but I didn't get deep enough, and so thus I got attacked by the enemy again.
I think I'd leave them with this one thought.
Okay.
Is make sure you got all your bases covered with the Word of God, and get into the deliverance and protection prayer.
Okay.
And this also, when you get deeper into a ministry and you're not covering yourself, you're opening yourself wide up.
You make yourself vulnerable, yes,
yeah,
to evil
really
and
do.
Pain and all those things, mm-hmm. suffering. Again, this is John Beaner. You've been listening to the Joy Lamb interview. We've been talking about the Sword of the Spirit book.com. Go there, get a copy of this book. It'll change your life from the inside out. God's in the business of healing and loving you and caring for you. Again, John Beaner with Inspiration 316. We've got our meeting February 11th this Sunday, 12 to 1:30. Love you to come to Village Bread across from Walmart. Grab some lunch, come into the back room, share a testimony with us.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Beaner. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.